Hello and welcome to the Steelers View podcast. I'm your host, Noah Nichols. You can find me on Twitter at Steelers View Pod. If you ever have a question or want to talk about anything, at me or DM me on Twitter and I will get back to you. Today on the show, I will be breaking down what the Stephen Wisniewski, Derek Watt, and Eric Ebron signings are going to do for the Steelers, as well as breaking down my top seven power rankings of the AFC. All right, let's get into it. So first off, what does Stephen Wisniewski bring to the Steelers? He has started with the last two Super Bowl winners, actually started in those games in the Super Bowls. He can play tackle, guard, and even some center if you have to. I see him as a depth guy. He's going to probably back up Matt Filer and Chukwuemeka. I can't not pronounce his entire name or his last name, but I think he's just going to be primarily a backup. He's just a depth piece. Because the Steelers are hoping that Chukes is going to take a step forward and be their starting right tackle. It's a really good signing. It's a very low cost from the salary cap. He costs like $2.14 million this year against the cap. It's a great signing. I think the reason that the Steelers were able to sign him for such a cheap deal is because he wanted to come play for his hometown team, the Steelers. He was born in Pittsburgh. He played at, I believe it's St. Mary's High School, went to college. I forget which one of the college he went to in Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh is his home, so I think that's why he took a hometown deal. But I think it's a great signing. Kevin Colbert always does this every single year. He finds a great backup player or somebody who can fill in the starting role. And maybe Wisniewski is able to start. I think that would be not what the Steelers want. I think that would not be a good sign if Wisniewski is starting, because that would either mean Filer or Chukes is injured or one of them is not taking the step that the Steelers want them to. So I think that the Steelers are hoping that Stephen Wisniewski doesn't have to play pretty much ever, maybe in like a 17th, 16th game as coming in to rest the starters. But I think that he's a great signing in a backup. Now, moving on to somebody who is not going to be a backup, the second Watt, Derek Watt. We only need, if the Steelers can trade, like, I don't know, you can give him some pierogies and a Primanti Bros sandwich or something like that. Send that to the Texans and we'll get J.J. Watt. I mean, that would be awesome. I would love for all three Watts to be on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's be realistic, that's never going to happen, but I think this is a pretty good signing with Derek Watt. It does tell us a little bit about what they thought of Rosie Nix. He was injured all of last year. I don't think Rosie Nix is normally injured that much. I think that was an outlier in his career, but I think it's unfortunate that Rosie Nix was unable to stay with the Steelers, and I think they may have known something about his injury, or they just saw more upside in Derek Watt, and they could save a little bit of cap space, though not too much, with releasing Rosie Nix, and then they signed Derek Watt to a really cheap deal. I think they're paying him like $1.2 million this year. He's a great fullback. He was a Pro Bowler last year. He can receive out of the backfield, though he doesn't do that very much. He only has one rushing touchdown in his career. He does not touch the ball a whole lot on offense, but I think he can. In that Chargers offense, they had so many players. They had Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry. The ball wasn't going to go to Derek Watt very much, but he's a great fullback. The Steelers needed that. I think they, like I said earlier, they know a little bit more than we do about Rosie Nix's injury. So I think that's why they signed Derek Watt to be a fullback. But Derek Watt also replaces Tyler Matakevich, because Derek Watt is a great special teamer. He was tied for the league lead in special teams tackles with 25, I think it was, with Tyler Matakevich. So they immediately filled in two holes in fullback and special teamer. And I think they also picked him because it's Watt bloodline, and they knew that he has some serious talent. They like to do that sort of thing. They have two of the Edmonds brothers. So I think that this was a really good signing. I know some people don't like the signing because Rosie Nix was such a beloved character in Pittsburgh, but it's unfortunate that we had to move on from Nix, that the Steelers had to move on from Nix, but I think this is a very good signing for the Steelers in picking Derek Watt. And I think the Steelers are going to utilize him more. I think that he's going to catch a couple more balls out of the backfield than we saw with him when he was in Los Angeles. I almost said San Diego. I still get caught up in saying San Diego instead of Los Angeles. So let's move on to their last signing, Eric Ebron. Obviously, the signing that most Pittsburgh Steelers fans get excited about. And I mean, this excited me when I saw this was coming on. I was like, wait a second, wait, what? The Steelers signed Eric Ebron. But let's remember that last year, he didn't do a whole lot. He was injured quite a lot. And he hasn't, except for 2018, done very much as a tight end. He doesn't block very well, but he is a very good receiver. And I think the Steelers are really hoping for the 2018 version of Eric Ebron. But I do want to temper our belief that he's not going to do well with understanding that in 2018, he had Andrew Luck throwing to him. In 2019, he didn't have Andrew Luck throwing to him. So in 2020, hopefully, we're praying that everything goes well with Ben Roethlisberger. He's going to have Big Ben throwing to him. I think that's going to drastically improve his stats. I think he's going to be a middle of the field, up the seam field stretcher. He is going to provide some big plays. I know he does struggle with consistent catching and has struggled with drops. That may be something that plagues him his entire career. We don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. I don't necessarily expect a whole lot of him in the blocking department, but he might get better there. Tight ends do take a long time, usually, to become good at their craft. And so this is something that we can expect because he's been playing for about 4 or 5 years. And that's usually when they start to hit their stride. And he showed signs of it last year. Not last year, in 2018 with Andrew Luck, obviously, but he regressed in 2019. And I really think that's because he had Jacoby Brissett as his quarterback. And I think the offense just wasn't as explosive with Andrew Luck in there. People could focus on him more than they could the year before when they had Andrew Luck in there. So I think this is a pretty good signing. They're not paying him too much. I don't believe the contract details are out yet. Otherwise I would go over them, but it allows the Steelers, it takes care of their tight end needs because it's a not very good tight end draft. Of course they could still pick somebody, but I don't think they will. And this allows the Steelers to have two competent kind of 1A B plus tight ends. They obviously don't have a George Kittle, Travis Kelce, but this allows them to come out on a two tight end set and split them out wide if they want to and do some interesting things out of those formations. Ebron can line up all over the field. He creates a big mismatch on linebackers because he's faster than them and he's a lot taller than them. And I think it's something to get really excited about, but we want to temper the expectation about Eric Ebron. He might not do that great. He's not a great blocker, and he has struggled with drops. So I think it's a good thing to be excited about it, but not to expect him to become George Kittle. I think that's just unrealistic, but I think it's a really good signing for the Steelers, really smart signing. It really helps this offense, in my opinion. So that's going to be it for all the free agent moves that the Steelers had. They did re-sign Jordan Dangerfield, but that's just getting back one of their own. Obviously, franchise tagging Bud Dupree. So now let's move on to my top 7 power rankings of the AFC. This is going to probably be a little bit different when the draft is over, but this is just pre-draft power rankings. So for my number 1 team, I have the Chiefs, and I think this is pretty obvious. The Super Bowl champs are just going to stay the number 1 until I see a reason to take them down. They beat the consensus at the very worst number 3 team in the NFL last year in the Super Bowl, and well, really this year, last season, but they beat the 49ers in the Super Bowl, and they were even down 10. I'm sure everybody remembers that. I think this offense is loaded. Now, from what I've seen, they have like $550,000 in cap space or something like that. So from what I've seen, they have very little cap space. They're probably going to have to cut some players to create room for signing their rookies. But whatever they add in the draft is really going to help them. But I'm just going from again, like I said earlier, this is a pre-draft power rankings, and I think that they're clearly the I don't necessarily know that they're clearly the best team in the AFC, because I think the AFC has a lot of good teams, but I think that there are more reasons than not to put them at the number one spot. So my number two team, and I know you guys are not going to like this, but I have the Baltimore Ravens. I know they've lost immediately in the playoffs twice in a row with Lamar Jackson, and I think that his struggles might continue, but I think that it's still a really stacked team. They have a lot of cap space. They have Justin Tucker. He's the best kicker in league history. They have a really good head coach. Special teams is always a strength. They're adding to their defensive line with Calais Campbell and Michael Brockers. So I think that their defense is going to be very good. It remains to be seen how they choose to try and shore up the inside linebacker position, but this is going to be a very strong team to play against. I think that their offense is not necessarily as good as it was last year. I think they need to add to the wide receivers. But their tight ends are, I mean, they have a lot of pretty good tight ends. And I think the league will catch up a little bit to Lamar Jackson, but he's still very hard to take care of. I don't think that they're going to go 14-2 again, but I think that they're the number two team until I see a reason otherwise to take them down. So for my number three team, I have the Steelers. I'm trying to be objective as possible. I am a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, pretty obviously. But I just think that the third best team in the AFC is not clear. I picked the Steelers for several different reasons. The main one is Mike Tomlin. As everybody should remember, somehow he managed to keep the Steelers ship afloat and take the Steelers to 8-8. He is a better coach than Harbaugh. You can disagree, but the stats back me up. I don't think you would disagree, because I don't think any Ravens fans are listening to this podcast. But he is a better coach than I think anybody else in the AFC besides Belichick. And possibly besides Andy Reid, though he has gotten the better of Andy Reid quite a lot. The last loss, I know the Steelers last lost to the Chiefs, I believe it was in 2018. But before that, the Steelers had walloped the Chiefs every single time, both in the playoffs and then at home. They blew them out one time like 45-14 or something like that. But I think this defense is the best in the league, and that's with all respect to the 49ers defense. I think this defense is the best in the league. They led the league in sacks and turnovers. I think Mike Tomlin is, again, one of the top five head coaches in the NFL. Big Ben is coming back. He said that he's throwing without pain for the first time in years. That's huge news. Again, we don't know how far Ben is going to be, and it's going to rely on how good Ben is this year, but I think he's going to be good. I think that the Steelers just shored up their offensive line. They don't have any major holes. You can talk about running back, but as long as James Conner is healthy, and yeah, the being healthy is the asterisk there, but they still have competent running backs, and if they had to for a game or two, they could rely on Benny Snell. What really gets them up here is experience. They have Mike Tomlin, who's been in the playoffs a lot. He's been to two Super Bowls. They have Ben Roethlisberger, very experienced. They have a very good young core on the defense and on the offense, especially on their skill position players on the offensive side of the ball. I believe last year they actually had the average age of their offensive skill position players was the youngest in the league. That's really good news, because we saw some flashes of some really good stuff from Deontay Johnson and James Washington. So I think that second-year leap is going to be huge for Devin Bush, who's pretty much never going to come off the field. Great for Deontay Johnson. James Washington, I think, is going to get to work on his chemistry with Ben Roethlisberger. Unfortunately, the coronavirus is affecting OTAs and camp and that sort of thing. It remains to be seen whether or not that will actually occur, but hopefully it will. Even then, I think Big Ben will trust those receivers a little bit more. All right, so my fourth team is the Buffalo Bills. Obviously, with Tom Brady moving out of the AFC, I think the Bills are clearly the best team in the AFC East. They just added Stephon Diggs. They have a pretty good running back. They have a really good wide receiver core. They have a really good defense. The couple knocks I have against them is their defense. I really the pass rush on their defense. I don't see that as very good. They tried to add to it, but it's not near the Steelers, the 49ers, even the Ravens, the Vikings pass rush, the Packers pass rush. They don't have one or two pass rushers that you're like, okay, we have got to stop this guy or he's going to wreck the game. The other knock I have against them is Josh Allen. I know he's got a great arm and he's really athletic, but he's too inconsistent for me. I just think that he is inaccurate. Many times when throwing the ball, he is inaccurate. And I think this is going to plague them. And I also think that they're kind of a young skill. They are a young team and they don't have a whole lot of experience. I know they just went into the playoffs, but they lost after leading the Texans. So this is why I think that I think highly of the Bills, but I'm going to put the Steelers over them because I think the Steelers have a little bit more talent. And I think the Steelers have a lot more experience. All right. So number five, I have the Los Angeles Chargers. Very possibly the best roster in the NFL. They have a great secondary headed by Derwin James, pass rushers led by Joey Bosa, wide receivers led by Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, a good if not great running back in Austin Eckler. Melvin Gordon did leave, but that's okay. I think a couple knocks against them is I don't think Anthony Lynn is he's just an average coach for me. He doesn't do a whole lot for me. I think he's a good head coach, but I don't think he's very good. I don't think he's necessarily bad, but he's just an average head coach. He doesn't do a whole lot. But they have basically zero holes. They added Trey Turner. They're going to add more in the draft, but I think this is a stacked roster. They added Chris Harris. I just think that the lack of a quarterback, which is the other knock against them. They have Tyrod Taylor. Yeah, he won't throw many interceptions, but he's not really going to do a whole lot on offense besides not throwing interceptions. He's not going to throw a lot of touchdowns either. I just think that the head coaching and the quarterback set them back from the other teams that I've mentioned so far. It remains to be seen if they're going to decide to pick up like Jameis Winston. I think they should take Cam Newton, who as of right now is supposed to be released soon by the Panthers. But I think that the Chargers are possibly the most talented roster in the NFL. But I think the two most important positions on a team in the NFL, head coach and the quarterback, they have big questions at. And that's why they're at number five. So at number six, I have the Titans. And this is because I think that they're a very well-rounded team. I really like their head coach, Mike Vrabel. I've put them above the Texans because I don't trust Bill O'Brien. I mean, he traded DeAndre Hopkins for basically like some snacks. I mean, he traded him for absolutely nothing. They have a good defense. It's not great. They don't really have any pass rush. They have a better secondary. They have a better offense. They are getting Tannehill back and Derrick Henry. They're going to need to, I think that they should add to their offensive, like the wide receivers or the tight ends in the draft. But they haven't done a whole lot in free agency. And they did trade away Jarrell Casey, but they did add, what's his name? Vic Beasley. But Vic Beasley is old. He's not doing a whole lot for me, but neither was Jarrell Casey. So maybe it just fills in for them. I just think the Titans are a good, solid, well-rounded team. They have some upside. They're not going to necessarily stink. I do not expect the offense to be as run heavy as it was last year because I think they handed the ball off to Derrick Henry, I think 300 something times, a crazy amount. And that is a lot of wear and tear on a running back. And they usually don't come back very strong or as strongly after a workload of that size. So I'm moving on to my seventh team, and this is going to surprise you guys. I put the Broncos here. I'm not going to put the Texans here because I think that basically their team is now just Deshaun Watson and whatever magic he can come up with. I didn't put the Colts here because I think that the addition of Phillip Rivers kind of makes them a worse team, and they're lacking any explosiveness anywhere on the ball. The Broncos have explosiveness. They did add Melvin Gordon. They have a really good number one receiver in Cortland Sutton. they have a potential star quarterback, a big armed quarterback in Drew Lock. They have a defense that is a lot better than many people know. They have a very good defense. They have Von Miller. They're getting back, I believe his name Bradley Chubb. So that's going to help their pass rush. Though I think Von Miller is getting a little bit older. He went to the Pro Bowl last year and he had 9 sacks. Bud Dupree should have gone. Bud Dupree was better. But they still have a pretty good defense. I think that they have more explosiveness than the other two teams that I've mentioned that I didn't put above the Broncos. And I think that they're in a prime position in the draft to take a really good wide receiver, maybe a running back. They need to add to their offensive line, which I believe they have a little bit. But I think that this team is just more explosive than the Colts or the Texans. And I'm not going to say that the Dolphins, I'm not going to say the Jets are going to get up here. I think they've got way too many holes to fill. I'm not going to say the Browns are going to get up here, though. I do think the Browns have added some okay pieces. I mean, they way overspent for Jack Conklin and Austin Hooper, and I just don't trust the Browns organization. I'm not going to put the Bengals up here or anything like that. I just think that the Broncos are a fringe playoff team. But they've got some, I mean, they clearly, with the 7th playoff team because of the new playoff scenario, the Colts could easily get in there. The Texans could get in there. You just pick a team. The playoffs are a lot easier to get into now. I just think that the Broncos are the most explosive team out of that list. All right. I want to thank you guys for listening. You can find me on Twitter at TeenNFLView and on Twitter also at SteelersViewPod. Check out my other podcast, TeenNFLView. I do that with my friend Kessler Burlingame. Thank you guys for listening, and I will be back next week.